We're in Acts chapter 7, verse 31. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Stephen is in the middle of rehearsing the history of Israel to some religious rulers who had arrested him, accusing him, in essence, of not respecting their Jewish religion. And, of course, all he did was preach Jesus, who was the fulfillment of many things, all things in that religion. And so let's pick it up in verse 30, actually. It says, when 40 years had expired, and the he there refers to, will refer to Moses, there appeared to him, Moses, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, now, let's read verse 32. I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses trembled and dared not behold. So Moses was too afraid to even look at the bush. He dared not behold. He was in the presence of God. And no one is bold in the true presence of God. I don't care who they are. Even a good man like Moses. 33, then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And it was holy because God was there. The thing that makes anything holy is the presence of God. The tabernacle was called the Holy Tabernacle because the presence of God is there. Christians are called holy brethren, a holy priesthood, because the presence of God is inside of us in the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee to Egypt. Moses was God's deliverer. As we see, God chose him. God chose him. Israel rejected him. Sound familiar? It's the same old story. 35. This Moses, whom they refused, the Israelites refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? Was the one whom God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. God sent Moses back to Egypt, even though Israel had rejected him as deliverer years earlier. God saved Israel, even though he had to persevere through their stubborn rejection of his hand-picked deliverer. Now, most of the time, God doesn't give up on people very easily, and he didn't give up on the Israelites simply because they rejected their deliverer in the past. Verse 36, he brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Both Moses and Jesus did miracles, but both were still eventually rejected by the Israelites. Signs and wonders are great, but their faith value is short-lived, excuse me, for those who are hard-hearted. 37. This is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Now, Stephen begins to make the transition from Moses to Jesus. Jesus is that prophet whom God raised up from their brethren, from the Jews. Verse 38, it says, this is he who in the church in the wilderness was with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give unto us. And so they accused Jesus or Stephen of not respecting the law of God, but that wasn't true. Right here, Stephen declares that the law came from God. 39, to whom our fathers would not be obedient, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. So if these religious leaders are looking for those who really didn't respect the law of God, if they're looking for somebody like that, then they should look at their own ancestors first, because they certainly didn't. They rebelled against God. They rebelled right after God gave them his law. The ink wasn't even dry. Verse 40, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idols and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. And so their Jewish ancestors worshipped a golden calf and made plans to return to Egypt even after God saved them from Egypt in the first place. They were breaking God's law faster than God could write it on those stone tablets. Talk about a lack of respect for the Word of God. It wasn't Stephen. It was their ancestors and them, which will become apparent. 42. Then God turned and gave them up to the worship of the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices for the space of 40 years in the wilderness? The Israelites worshipped idols during their years of wandering in the wilderness after they left Egypt. They chose to reject God, so God rejected them. God gave them the desires of their heart, and so they worshipped idols with a clear conscience. And believe me, anytime anyone can continually commit a serious sin with a clear conscience, they are living on the edge of hell. 43. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, and images which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now, Israelite idolatry began with the golden calf on the foot of Mount Sinai, and it climaxed. It reached its apex centuries later with the worship of anything and anyone you can possibly imagine, including star worship, right before God sent them into Babylonian exile as punishment, and that cured them. The point is this: Israel has had a track record of rejecting God, so it's not surprising that they rejected his son also. Do you see what Stephen is trying to get across to these people? 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers who came later brought with Joshua into the territory of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the day of David. So Stephen, remember, was accused of blaspheming the holy temple, but here he honors it. He gives it its rightful place by acknowledging that it was given to Israel by God. 46. David found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? In other words, Stephen is in essence saying, if you say I blasphemed the holy temple because I said it has become outdated, and because I implied that God is bigger than his temple, then you are the ones who are going against the holy scriptures. I was arrested for saying what the scriptures say. God is more than his temple. 51. Ye stiff-necked people. And so here he really hammers them. Uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. The rulers were running God's established religion their way, not God's way. And so when someone like Jesus or Stephen came along, or John the Baptist, or the other apostles, and interjected the word of God, they killed them. They were stiff-necked. In other words, they were too prideful to bow before the word of God and the God of the word. 52. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain those who announced in advance the coming of the Just One. Of him have ye now been the betrayers and the murderers. 53. Ye who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. I wonder who's on trial here. Stephen says, your ancestors killed the holy prophets and you took their sin to the next level by killing God's son. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed with their teeth at him. They were furious after hearing the word of God. You know, a person's reaction to the Holy Scriptures reveals their attitude toward God. Verse 55 and verse 56 together. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen's circumstances were clearly worse than those of the religious leaders. And yet he's filled with peace because he's focused on Jesus, and they are furious and miserable because they are out of God's will. Circumstances do not have to dictate feelings. 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They just went berserk. They're acting like fools because they can't take the truth. 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. We'll be hearing more about Saul in the upcoming chapters. 59. And they stoned Stephen as he called upon God and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. They were angry enough to kill Stephen. But of course, they didn't know that by killing him, they were setting him free. They were promoting him. Stephen is dead and as happy as can be. Meanwhile, even though they attempted to satisfy their hatred by killing him, they're still filled with hate. And at least some of them were filled with guilt as well. They didn't solve the problem that they had by killing Stephen. And they didn't eliminate the truth by killing him either. Verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, charge not this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was a class act because he was a godly act. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and being kind to those who were actually killing him was the evidence. You see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which includes kindness and long-suffering, is the evidence that one is filled with the Spirit of God.